Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings and greetings, blessings to the souls. We're alive because we're configured to staying alive in Torah Chaim, to intend instructions of life, Torah Chesed, instructions of kindness, Torah Rachmanim, instructions of mercies. You just heard Nadav Bachar, one of the outstanding young guitarists in the Jewish musical community, and that's called Keser, Crown Only, or Keter Lavad, talking about a realm of creation which is way beyond ours, and certainly that music sounded otherworldly. But we want to talk about matters of the world, because we, as part of almost 8 billion, 100 million human beings, are streaming and screaming and dreaming of a day where there's no more hatred, jealousy, and competition, which is not needed. You're now tuned into Block Talk Radio. This is Soul Talk, number 803, Proverbs, Teaching to Access Wisdom and Righteous, presentation number 26. And we humbly assert we are the higher inner frequency of Blog Talk Radio. My name is Don Joseph Goodman, your local international cyberspace activist. And we have also on the line Rambam student, teacher, and advocate, disseminator of the teachings of Nesher Godel Rambam, Dennis Ryan. Good morning, sir. Dennis? Well, before the program, we had gotten word that there were some problems on Blog Talk Radio, and this apparently that they were having trouble with their live broadcast system. So I'm going to try to call Dennis once again, and if we can call him in, then we can do our interaction as we usually conduct ourselves. Hold on, please.
La 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 la. Dennis.
Hi. Can't answer the phone right now, but leave a message and we'll get back to you. Thank you.
Dennis is on the line. And so I'm going to drop him.
At the tone, please record your message. When you finish recording your message.
Dennis?
Hello.
Hi, Dennis. So you were on. But right now you're speaking directly into my telephone, so the sound might. Sound might be a little tinny, but I think we can still get it off. Were you able to hear the music that I played at the beginning of the broadcast?
Yes, I heard it all, and your introduction, too.
Okay. So let's go right into it. And what I'd like to do, Blessed Souls and Dennis, I'm looking forward to Dennis's feedback again. Anyone who wants to call in, if the system is working again, I have right on my recording studio dashboard, it says we are currently experiencing an issue with our live broadcast system. I guess that's one of the outcomes of it. Our engineers are trying to fix or working to fix this issue. But as I mentioned just before, we have 8 billion, now 80 million people in the world today. As a consequence, again, the ratio of people passing on to people being born today, and it's a kinetic count. We have 77,000 plus people have passed on. And we've had over 170,000 human beings born today. 130 million plus have been born this year. And the population growth, therefore, has grown by over 72 million. With that being said, as well, in terms of the logistics, who's tuning into Blog Talk Radio, our humble presentations. Still, the Americas is the dominant listening country with 84.35%. Next four countries are tied at 2.61%, Israel, Canada, Australia, and France. So I'm going to now read something that I penned. This was last night coming out of Shabbos, something that I felt, because I think that this is something we need to discuss on today's program. I'm looking forward to Dennis's feedback, comment, and concern. So here it goes. Blessed is our eternal Creator. There are times for reflecting within the depths of our hearts. There are times we sense something is not right within our hearts. Sometimes our hearts are on fire, seeking to connect in the most significant way to our Creator. There are times when our hearts are dulled from trauma, exhaustion, fear, overeating, drinking too much, hearing bad news, and avoiding our innate responsibilities to be good stewards of this blessed earth. There are times we seek to change our environment, only to realize later on, after our failed efforts, we did not seek to change ourselves first. There are times we're filled with joy over the tiniest of good news. There are times we lose the sense of time during existential moments. There are times we can sense eternity but unable to explain what we have perceived. And there are times when all is quiet around us and we are filled with the roaring sounds of inner peace. Dennis, your take on these matters.
Well, I'd like to go back to my grandmother. And she used the words, God bless us and save us. But she did it for everything that seemed like something was going wrong or there was trouble. We can say that in times of in bad times, just like in wars and conflict, both sides believe they're talking to God and they want God by their side before they go into combat because they believe God will save them. That is true. However, it shouldn't be only in times of conflict. We have to love God, whether it's good times or bad times. All of a sudden, you cannot wake up and say, I really need God now because my life is in danger or I have problems. No, God is there for all humans, for all times. But we must be able to communicate him with him. And that we do by praying, times and bad times. We don't just need God in bad times. Mm-hmm. We must be able to open up our hearts and have feelings for God in good times. Why? Because he loves us. He has always loved us. He created us. We are here for what he has set up for his purposes. And that is something we must respect in good times and in bad times. So no matter how bad it gets, God is with you. But you must remember, no matter how good you think you're doing, God is still there for you. So, in good times or bad times, God is a constant. And we must remember that.
Thank you, Dennis. One second, please. Okay, Dennis, I'd like now to read some distillations of teachings from a book we've talked about before when Robert Walker used to be part of our crew, and apparently he's involved with some stuff with his family that he's too busy to join us, unfortunately. Well, fortunately, he knows his priorities is taking care of his family. And with each, you know, little teaching, I'd like you to give your feedback on it. So one bottom line is God directs you so that you should spread the light of God in every place where you find yourself. So why do people not consider that, Dennis, the responsibility of spreading the light or the awareness of Creator wherever they may be?
Well, it's because they do so on their personal feelings, and they think they are strong enough for the good times. So bad times occur, they feel like they're exposed and they need more help. But the help has always been there, whether it's good times or bad times. So God is ever present. You can send him a prayer anytime you want to. But do you feel like you can only do it in bad times or when you feel depressed or when you feel like, oh my goodness, I lost a lot of money or I lost money in the stock market? That is not the time that you must rely on God. God is a constant. We are constant. We are humans, but we are subject to our feelings. And sometimes we give in to our feelings when we feel good. We don't have any worries. Baloney, you always have worries. You never know what the future is going to bring. You want God by your side. Say a little prayer and hope for the best, and God will supply the necessary effects for the human mind. He is there. He is waiting to help you, whether good times or bad times.
Very nice, Dennis. Here's another one. This is particularly, this hits me right in the heart, this teaching, because I go through a lot of ambivalence with the career I'm in social services because it's so time-consuming and it consumes so much of my energy. Yet I know that, you know, I've been doing it for 26 years, Kainahara, and basically it goes like this. Someone who can polish gems but instead chooses to bake bread, despite the necessity of bread, is actually lacking in their own their personal development will be lacking. So sometimes people want an easier way out, but the easier route might lead to lack of proper self-elevation. Your take on these matters?
Well, what happens is, what is really important to your life? The little things or the big things? The good things? Or maybe you want to imbibe or take part in some bad things. That's up to you. It's your choice. You have free will. But we must remember, we have a Creator, and we're living in his world, and we have to show him that we're worthy to go into a spiritual world. If you're not worthy, then what are you doing? Are you killing time? Are you wasting time? Are you spending time on little things that are almost insignificant? The worst thing you can do is ignore everything that's going on in the world because your feelings are satisfied. Your feelings should never be satisfied. We are imperfect human beings, and we always need God. And to do that, we communicate and believe in him and love him. If you can't love God, what can you love? Can you really love other things if you can't love God?
Mm-hmm.
God is waiting for your love. Send him a prayer and do a good deed.
Amen. So connected to what I just mentioned, here's another bottom line teaching. Do not abandon a career, but do not obsess with it either. Now, sometimes I find myself, I admit, being totally engaged into the point where I feel like I'm neutralizing a certain aspect of my existence in a negative way. I mean, there is this idea of sacrifice, whatever we're doing in this world, but, you know, how does a person, Dennis, make a balance between not abandoning a career, but at the same time, too, becoming obsessed over it?
It all comes down to what you think is important. If you think your job is more important because if you lose it, your life collapses, baloney. You are still a good human being who can do achievements and put your mind to it and overcome any obstacle. After all, how did you get a good job if you have one? If you lose it, does that mean you can't get another one? You never give up hope. We can never say, oh, I'm sick and tired of doing this. I put all my energy into it and nothing's working out. That is not true. God believes in you. You should believe in yourself and believe in him. And you can overcome any obstacle if you put your mind to it. You achieved what you have because you put your mind to it. You thought it was important. God is just important. He's not there for some situations, but others he's not. No. He must be present. You must get your priorities squared away and right in front of you. So every morning when you wake up, what am I going to do today? That's a positive thing. You can say maybe 10 things. You could be discouraged and only do 2 or 3. So what? You always have another day to overcome those negative ideas or negative situations that you believe is hurting you. Don't worry about your pain. Worry about your God. He is more important. And what we experience as humans is small potatoes compared to what God expects of us. So please keep our Creator in mind. And he will provide for you.
Amen. Thank you, Dennis. Okay, here's another one, another bottom line teaching from the Book of Trust, the Gate of Trust. All the avenues of success are at God's disposal. And each person should have faith that God will choose an easy and suitable path for you. I just want to say before you comment, Dennis, that sometimes we don't see it as easy or suitable. But again, there's what we consider to be easy and suitable and what Creator considers to be easy and suitable, which is best for that person. Your comment on these matters.
What is suitable or not is not God's decision. God gave you a free will, and you can change your mind anytime. You can choose what you want to do, but that's up to you. So don't use God as a crutch. He is not the one who is behind you that gives you a good job or a bad job. It is not his choice. He has given you all the opportunities. It's your mind that must pick something out that's suitable for you. But that doesn't mean it has to be suitable. There's lots of people who have jobs that are not suitable. You know what? They're still living. They're praying. They're enjoying life. So don't think because you have a bad moment that the rest of mankind is going through the same thing. That is not true. All goes back to your free will and your decisions. But if you don't like the direction you're going in, you can change. You have the capability of overcoming anything with God's help. So don't feel down in the dump because you picked the wrong career. Did you pick the wrong door to walk through? No, we are not perfect. But that doesn't mean we're stopped from picking careers or we stop from walking through doors. If you open up a window to get fresh air, is that a good thing or a bad thing? In the middle of winter, you may say it's a bad thing. So be it. That doesn't mean you stop breathing the air that comes in through the window. Life goes on, and we must overcome with God's help. Amen.
Okay. A couple more, Dennis. That only when a person's trust in the Creator is complete he or she knows that everything can be obtained, it is all from the Creator. And therefore, to have reliance on others, meaning human beings, is not in conflict with trust in God, because we see that that person is merely a vessel or a messenger or an emissary of the Creator to bring the person what they need. So how can we explain to people that we're to rely on another person, not because we're relying on that person to the exclusion of the Almighty, but the Almighty has appointed him or her or some other entity to be the conduit by which a person can have sustenance in this world?
Well, first of all, I'll quibble about your idea of what is complete, because in God's world, you are never complete unless you're God-like.
Right.
So the whole idea that you have reached a level of achievement is nonsense. You never reach the real achievement, because we can always do better, and God is there willing to help us to do better. You never stop surviving. As every human is on the earth, we must survive. Survive is not easy. If you have 3 meals a day and your tummy is full and you get your sleep, you think you've achieved something? That is not a final answer at all. You have temporarily done something beneficial for yourself in one day. What are you going to do for the rest of your days? Whatever you choose, we're always in survival mode. That means bad things, good things can happen to us. But we don't let those things get in our way, because we're not looking at the short run, we're looking at the long run. You will be judged on your life, not what you did today or tomorrow. Your whole life will come before you, and you will be judged. Can you stand that criticism? You should be aware, nothing is complete, and this is an ongoing battle. And we're all humans on earth.
Amen. Actually, I'm going to do 3 more because they're very quick ones, and I think they'll kind of like, as we say, set us up to prepare for the next section, which is talking from the book of Daniel. The next bottom line is, the Creator knows what is best for you now and later. So this puts a lot of people into conflict, because maybe they don't feel they're getting the best now. And as they look into the future, they don't think they'll get the best. But same time, too, the Creator knows what is best for us now and later. Your comments on these matters.
Yeah, he used the word best. That's an interesting word, because the Creator expects the best out of you. Because you're imperfect, that doesn't mean you're always going to get the bad side or the good side. You get a mixture of everything. That's called life. There's ups and downs. And when you think you're on a good streak and you're winning lottos or whatever it may be, or you're gambling, do you really think you're doing your best? There's always a question of, can you improve one more inch, one more little micro something of anything you're doing? Can you do better? We all can do better, but we can't stop doing better. We must strive for the best. We may not reach it. That doesn't mean we're not going to try to get it. But you cannot get the golden ring in your hand unless you try for it. You may be on a carousel going around trying to grab the gold or the brass ring that's there for people who want to reach out and grab it. Because you didn't get it, that doesn't mean your life is in the dumps. That doesn't mean you failed. You must try. Have you tried? Or have you given up? Why give up when you can try over and over and over? But if you don't try, are you rejecting God? Maybe you don't want to do better. We all must strive to do better, because that's our internal experience. We're always trying to be the best. So, if you're not trying to get the best, will you ever get the best? Who knows?
Okay. Okay. The next to last one, and I'm sure you can, you know, as a person who's a little bit older than me, and I, as someone who's a little bit younger than you, can certainly testify, especially in the work that you worked, I think, for New York City HRA, and I'm in social services, and interacting with a variety of people we've dealt with in the last, I don't know how many years you were in social, New York City HRA, but every moment of life is a gift from God. How can we share with other people in dialogue that they should appreciate every moment? It's not a given. It's not an, we would, you know, the Almighty is not obligated to give us life. He's giving to us as a gift. Therefore, we should express our gratitude to him that we're bringing this gift of life at this very moment.
The question is, can you accept the gift? If you can't accept the gift, maybe it's not a gift. If you don't feel like it's a good gift or something that's worthwhile, is there something else that you're looking for? Our minds wonder. We wonder what the future will bring. What is the best way to go about it? A gift? God is always there to help us. If you can't understand that help, maybe you don't know what a gift is. What happens is he's trying to help us, sometimes directly, indirectly. I don't know. It depends on your own personal life. But you must understand that God is with you. How can you not achieve and do what's expected of you without God? Without God, we are dust in the wind. Yes, every time the wind blows, the dust will move. Are you in control, or is the wind in control? You must understand that God has put us in a world. You control your choices, but you're responsible for your choices. So be careful what choices you make. Your parents tried to teach you what are the choices in life. Have you forgotten that? Or do you think you have new choices? No, they're the same old choices between good and bad. Whether you're a little child or an elderly person, you must understand the principles as to why we survive here on the planet. We do good. We try to avoid bad. God will help you in those choices. Believe in him.
Okay. Last one, Dennis. And I'm looking here again in the studio, and it seems that we are broadcasting, so whatever problems there have been seem to have been rectified within the Blog Talk radio system. But back to what we were discussing one more time about a bottom line, is a human being's task to enhance the world and make it great. Unfortunately, Dennis, some people feel they feel that his or her task is just to enhance themselves and make themselves great. So how can we explore and get involved in open-ended questioning with another human being to get him or her to realize that their greatness is based on helping to develop the world and make it a greater place to live? And in that process, there's a teaching in the oral tradition of Israel that when a person runs away from honor, honor runs away from them. When a person seeks honor, honor is repelled by them. So when a person is seeking greatness, greatness will probably elude them, and they'll get frustrated, angry, maybe get into some really negative behavioral traits. But if a person wants to make the world great, a person should be surprised if their own personal status in the world becomes magnified. Your take on these matters?
Well, we have a thing called humility, and that is that we must be humble at all times. You can use the term great. But do you want people to force you as being great for any reason that you may conceive is a good thing? No. Why? Because you're only getting the greatness from other people. You want to be able to be measured on a spiritual basis. That is why our Creator put us on the planet. We are not here to be superhumans. That is not our goal anywhere. We want to be good, honest, humble people who are interested in doing good. That sometimes is a very hard line to hold, because is the goodness, does that mean you have to give up some of yourself to help other people to be good? Or are you going to ignore what other people do and just say that you're the greatest? You did it. You survived. So therefore, you're at the top or the pinnacle of human life. It doesn't end. There is no greatness. The only greatness appears as it relates to our Creator. Our Creator is great, but we can't call him great because that's a human aspect. We can be good, but how good can we be? So people will appreciate and you will feel better. That doesn't mean that you stop trying to do better. We are always fighting for survival here. There's nobody that has a free pass and live their life so they don't have a problem. We all have problems. They are obstacles in our way. We can overcome them, but we have God to help us to do that. But we must remember, we are not alone. You may think you're alone. You may be standing with a bunch of million other people. Do you still feel alone? If you're not with God, who are you with? Other human beings? We are all mortals. Try to do our best. We can do our best and every day improve on that. If we're not surviving, we are just wasting time.
Thank you. Okay, now we're going to move to the Book of Daniel. And last week, if you recall, and those who listened to the program last week, we talked about that the wise men of the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic, and we got to a little discourse from the oral Torah tradition that Aramaic, Hebrew, and Arabic are, according to the Ibn Ezra, are close related and related to the one language. But now we want to talk more into the content of the explanation of this verse here. We'll read it now, chapter 2, verse 4 in the Book of Daniel. The Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream and we will relate the interpretation, because Nebuchadnezzar, early on in his book of Daniel, had some sort of dream that agitated him and he could not remember it. So he was looking for someone, as we'll see, not only to remember the dream as he dreamt it, to remind him of what he dreamt about, and to provide the correct interpretation. Now, the Chaldeans were a group of wise men who actually had the ability to read other people's minds. So I guess that's why they were in the service of the king. But the king gave them a very stern warning that if they did not provide a proper translation of his dream, there would be severe consequences we'll talk about in a moment. Now also, the Ramban commenting that the king spoke in Hebrew, meaning Nebuchadnezzar. And there's a proof that kings of those days or other governments had an awareness of Hebrew, because if you go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 36, verse 13, there's a verse that said Rabshakeh was an official who was sent by the Assyrian government to Jerusalem, to King Hezekiah, Hizkiyahu HaMelech, as we would say. And it said here that Rabshakeh stood and called out in a loud voice in the Judean language, which is, of course, Hebrew. And he said, listen to the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. But I just wanted to show that Hebrew used to be much more well-known in the ancient world. And now going on to chapter 5, and then we'll turn to Dennis for some feedback. So chapter 2, verse 5, the king explained to the Chaldeans, the thing has escaped me, meaning his dream. If you do not make the dream and its interpretation known to me, you'll be cut to bits and your houses will be made a dunghill. And remember, we're talking in the days of kingship where a king could take proactively without a court, former court, whatever the system of judgment was in those days, can order people executed. And he basically was saying that by threatening them to be cut down to pieces and their houses will be made into dunghill, that these were renowned people And therefore, by destroying their houses, so to speak, their names will be blotted out from the memory of the history of humankind, which is something most people would like to have some sort of legacy or positive remembrance of themselves. But on the other hand, too, I guess I'm going to read chapter 2, verse 6, and we'll ask Dennis to comment. But the king Nebuchadnezzar told the Chaldeans, "But if you relate the dream and its interpretations, gift rewards and great honor you will receive from me, only tell me the dream and the interpretation." Now, that being said, that those Chaldeans thought they merely were going to have to interpret the dreams, and that by the very fact that they were being promised rewards, this would have been an extra service that they would provide for the king. However, again, if they were not able to recall the dream as Nebuchadnezzar, though he forgot it, but would remember if they told it to him, they would have their memories erased from the history of their peoples. So Dennis, you know, kings were pretty tough in those days. if there are any kings today, in the sense that they can order a death penalty without a court interacting or intervening. But again, here are wise people thinking that they're in with the king because they spoke the language of the king, which was Aramaic, even though the king could also speak Hebrew, that, you know, when a person wants to step up to the plate and to claim to have the ability to do something very great, they be prepared to back up with what they're saying, because as they say, the Chaldeans had to walk the walk and not just talk the talk.
Well, there's one thing that we have to understand, that languages are not religion. Religion is your heart and your mind as you relate to our Creator. So it can use many different languages. It has no real effect as to what language you use, because it's the bottom line of what the language is trying to do. If you're trying to communicate with our Creator, you do it mentally and with your heart, not completely with your mouth. But then again, you have dreams. Now, dreams, as we know, as science has developed over the years, is that that's when your conscious mind goes off into the netherlands, into the darkness of the shadows. You do not control your dreams. Your dreams are a pigment of your imagination. If you can imagine God, you may dream of God. If you can imagine angels, you may dream of angels. But it's not your awareness during the day when you're not dreaming, because most people do not dream during the day. We dream at night, when our body shuts down and our mind takes over. So the mind can have huge amounts of experience, pros, cons, good things, bad things, fearful things, things that are wonderful, and our mind can expand with our imagination because it's not controlled. You need reality to control your dreams. Reality is when you're fully aware and you say, that's not a good dream, that's not a great dream, or that's a bad dream. Just like reality is between good and bad during the day while your mind is active. But when you go to sleep, your thoughts, they go with the wind. They just float along, and you can have good dreams and bad dreams. Now, to say that you're responsible for your dreams is a little harsh, because if you don't have control over it, then why should you be responsible for it? It's because you allowed your imagination to open this doorway called dreams. Nothing wrong with dreams. Much remember, it's good and bad to everything. Nothing is excused from good and bad assignment. Why? Because that's one of the things we were created under. You have a free will to go ahead and make your own decisions. You may make good ones, bad ones. We're human. We're imperfect. That doesn't mean you're going to have perfect dreams. Doesn't mean you're going to have a perfect life. Doesn't mean you're going to have an imperfect life or imperfect dreams. dreams. Those under your control, you're responsible for. So to delve into dreams is like, I don't want to use the expression a bottomless pit, because that's a negative expression, because there are good dreams. And we don't just flush dreams down the toilet. No. We live with those dreams, because sometimes it comes back and it haunts us while we're alive, while our mind is active. We sometimes will reflect on our dreams. So we want the good results to come about. We want our principles of good and bad to still stand as good principles. Why? Because that's what we're going to be judged on. So it doesn't matter what language we do it in, as long as our minds and hearts are placed with God. Any other place is not acceptable. It's your choice. Amen.
Okay. So we're going to now go to the next two verses, and then we'll move on to Proverbs. So the Chaldeans kind of backed down, these wise men of King Nebuchadnezzar. Because again, he asked them, tell me what my dream is and interpret it to me. But they, in chapter 2, verse 7, said, they answered again, let the king tell his servants a dream, and we will relate the interpretation. They changed their request that the king should tell them, share with them, divulge his dream. And therefore, they will be able to interpret it. Now, what they did was setting themselves up. Again, we have to understand, blessed souls, within the context of a king realm, a realm of a king, that a king doesn't have to go by the laws and bylaws mostly of their country. They can, come up with their own personal statutes. That's what makes them a king. That's why you don't really, today, like in the American government, you have the legislative branch, the judicial branch, you have the executive branch. Although maybe people have done something behind the curtains. Generally, there is a checks and balances. In the realm of the king, there were no checks and balances. It ran according to the whims of the king. So in chapter 2, verse 8, King Nebuchadnezzar exclaimed, I know for a certainty that at this time you are doomed because you have not seen the thing that has escaped me. So in the oral Torah tradition, it said that the fact that you're repeating, you're making a request, I tell you the dream is only a ruse. My refusal to tell you a dream is in order to test you. And you want to be sure that I will not ultimately contradict your version of my dream. So you have asked me repeatedly to tell you the dream, thus forcing me to declare time and time again that I have forgotten it, so I'll be able to say later on that I can really remember it. And at this time, Nebuchadnezzar said that you are doomed for this type of dialogue. And, since you know how annoyed I am by the fact that the oral Torah tradition, that I've forgotten the dream, and I must be told what it was, and since that you cannot reveal to me of a matter of such great importance to me, then you yourself must be put to death, meaning the sages. So that, again, Rashi mentions that in the verse, and we're not going to be sentenced to death, not for their inability to tell Nebuchadnezzar the dream, but for their insistence to reveal the dream to them. Had they had initially told the king that they were unable to fulfill his demand, they might have been excused, but now they've angered him by repeating the demand that he should tell them the dream. Dennis, this is this is not a democratic-run government, the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar. And it, to me, just highlights one thing. When a person is asked for something, to perform a task, they have to be very quite honest and say, I can do it or I can't do it. Not just from a king, a boss, or something a person has to ask the employer or the supervisor or the mentor, can you explain it in a way that I can better understand this assignment you've given me? So the Chaldeans were wise men. Again, they were according to oral tradition, they could read people's minds. They couldn't read Nebuchadnezzar's mind. Of course, this was setting up for the great revelation of the prophecy of who? I think I just lost Dennis. Let me just call him back. Hold on, please. Let's just call back Dennis. Oh. Dennis?
Gone.
Okay, so you got into the Blog Talk studio. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Don.
Okay. So I don't know if you heard this last point. I was saying that in a king's government, again, they can enact statutes which have nothing to do with the laws and bylaws of that particular country. And basically, something to learn is that when a person is being assigned a certain responsibility, whether it be a king or an employer or a mentor or a friend, and a person has trouble understanding what has to be done or doesn't think they can do it, should be honest, I can't do it. So from the oral Torah traditions, the Chaldeans, with all their wisdom and all of their ability to feel familiar with the king because they spoke the same language as him, they stepped into a booby trap by asking the king to dream when the king told them, I don't remember the dream. So how can we, you know, assist other human beings realize that humility in not knowing what to do is also a very positive trait, and it might actually bring about more respect for the person who says is not sure what to do or can explain it another way in order to carry out the task of the person who has assigned him or her to take on some sort of new responsibility.
We face those choices every day, whether they're little things to do or minor things or major things. If we're eating, are we going to use a fork or a spoon? Is that a big choice? No, that's a minor choice. But do you make the choice? Yes. Do you expect something to fall off your fork or spoon when you put it in your mouth? No. But if it does that mean it was a bad choice or a good choice? None of the kings or the leaders in history ever consulted with a medium, that is, someone who's a fortune teller. We don't rely on fortune tellers. We rely on God. God is the one true thing we can always rely on. And that is, we can understand what is right and wrong and the principles of what is good and bad. Nothing ever changes. So I don't care what type of dream you have or had, you still have to know between right and wrong. Now, if it causes your death, which is more important, your principles that you've established with God that you understand is right and wrong, or is the fortune teller going to decide your future? I'm sorry. The fortune teller is not. Statistically, it may seem like they're working, or they know what is right, or they may guess correctly. But it's between what you believe and the understanding you have with your Creator. The Creator is part of our link to our minds and hearts that is never to be disturbed with. Why? Because that's where we're going to end up. We have a direct line to our Creator. Never, never break that line or connection or communication. We rely on it. Why? We don't know everything. That's why we need the Creator to help us out to make the best decisions we can. Because we're expected to do the best. We're expected to improve on what we see, hear, and understand. That is a divine principle that we cannot ignore or deviate from. You either agree with God or you disagree with God. Yes, some people in history, they had catastrophic things happen to them. What's the worst, an earthquake? Your body got crumbled up in an earthquake? No, God doesn't threaten you with violence. God doesn't get mad at you. He doesn't have feelings. He just wants you to stick to your principles of right and wrong. What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. But you must remember, you cannot accept excuses for making your choice between right and wrong. If you make up the excuse, you're responsible. But if you make the correct decision as you believe that is what your Creator would want you to do, you go with it. Why? Because that's the best thing your mind can come up with. So pray that you have wisdom, knowledge, to make the correct decisions. Amen.
Okay, thank you, Dennis. We're moving on. We have about another 10 minutes to go. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 7, do not be wise in your own sight. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Matsuda David, who is one of the great oral Torah elucidators, advises us, don't be wise in your own sight. Decide that you may be lenient in a case for a forbidden act, and that you do not need to impose safeguards upon yourself because a wise man like you finds them unnecessary. Rather, fear the Lord lest you stumble despite your wisdom, and turn away from evil by enacting safeguards for yourself. Now, this in this generation, the, you know, with everything being out there in cyberspace, Dennis, most people are more inclined to imbibe in things otherwise that they wouldn't have access to 50, 100, 200, 300, 500 years ago. And yet they're still wise, but yet they're just imbibing in things, saying, well, I'm wise enough that I shouldn't be tricked into a path of downfall emotionally, spiritually, and how much more so cognitively. So how, what can we do to encourage people to, and again, we're not advocating in any shape or form of adapting a low self-esteem, because there are very wise people. And we're not telling them they're not so wise. No. Don't use the wisdom in a way that's going to turn away from fear of the Creator embracing evil to take on these matters. Dennis? Dennis? Oh, no. Dennis? Okay. Dennis?
Hello.
Yeah, this I guess this is part of the Blog Talk Radio problems. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you clearly.
Okay. So, Dennis, how can we advise someone to not be too wise to think that they can, you know, freely travel wherever their mind wants to go, and they have the wisdom to combat it? But here's a direct instruction from King Solomon, a prophet of God. Fear the Creator, and not to shrivel up in contrition, but rather fear to break the connection. Creator is never disconnected from us, but to fear the Creator means we have to turn away from evil, whatever form of shape it comes in, whether our thought process, our speech process, or action process. Your take on these matters.
Well, if you decide that evil is the way to go, then you're responsible for your actions, and God will act accordingly. Our Creator is very clear on that. However, if you decide to believe in God, go along with his ideas, and give him a little love, that may be a good thing. Why? Because you're on the straight and narrow path to a spiritual world that you have to earn. You cannot earn it by making bad decisions all the time. You must be able to pick out a good decision, stick with it, and follow through. And you'll feel better when you do it. Why? Because you accomplished it. And it's in the light of God that you did it. So we must remember that we have to do good, positive things, and it will show in the long run where we stand in relation to the devil. We cannot accept the devil. That doesn't mean we're perfect, but we have to shun him in every way that we recognize that he is evil. Evil should stay with evil. Good should stay with God. And that's what we depend on.
Okay, one more verse. And for the person who is not wise in their own sight, again, they have a good self-esteem. We're not talking about lowering anyone's self-esteem and saying a wise person is not wise. But a true wisdom is fearing the Creator and turning away from evil. And the implication is, King Solomon says, it shall be a healing for your navel and marrow for your bones. What does that mean? The marrow. There's a certain moisture, literally the moisture that's within the bones. And the marrow of his bones are moistened, according to Rashi. That means that the Almighty will grant health and strength to those who fear him. That's from Rabbeinu Yonah. Suda David explains that The safeguards a human being imposes upon himself or herself will strengthen them in his or her observance of the commandments, meaning carrying out God's word. So Dennis, can we convince people, or can we get people into the conversation, that actually a person can experience, but we cannot promise it, but King Solomon is saying there's an axiomatic teaching, the one who fears the Creator and turns to evil shall have a strengthening of their health and be able to have the opportunities to do more of God's word.
If you do good in your life, you'll get a certain amount of satisfaction. That satisfaction is that you have achieved something. It may be little, it may be big. Achieve something using your own free will. And it's a positive thing. That is the feedback that you will get no matter what happens, as long as you stay with God, our Creator. He is there. He, she, he is there. The entity called God is with you. If you can feel it in any way, shape, or form, increase the level of satisfaction that can't be produced by any other thing. Other humans can't give you that satisfaction. They may applaud you, clap. They may say, oh, you're doing wonderful. It's how God will view you is the only consideration that has value to it. So you may be able to get a temporary high. You may be able to feel good in a minute here or there. But if you can't, understand what you should be doing, you won't be able to achieve what you want to do, and that is to feel good and look good and know that you've done the right thing in God's eyes. Oh, he doesn't
Amen.
Have eyes. Amen.
Amen. Okay, Dennis, I want to thank you again for joining me, and we're going to segue out as we usually do with the University Maccabees one day, because one day, bless your souls, we really want to see an end to hatred, jealousy, competition, which is not needed on the face of this blessed earth. Hoping we have a Havachad, one love, Goral Echad, one destiny, Kolano, for all Bedach Shalom. And to all our Christian listeners around the world, may you enjoy the next 24 hours in a state of spiritual bliss and contentment, and to go from strength to strength in your faith. Ultimately, as Rambam teaches, that the systems of Christianity, well, he doesn't, the faiths of Christianity or the religions of Christianity and Islam are here to prepare the world for redemption. And we of Israel certainly, you know, encourage all peoples of all faiths, whether they be Christians or Muslims or Hindus or Episcopalians, or to keep the 7 commandments, to make it a better world in a way that of a Havachad, one love, one day, Kulan of all of us, Ladakh, Nakishal, and we're going to pay out with one day by the Maccabees. Take care, everyone.
Yeah.